All right. Thank you, folks. I do appreciate that truth. Calvary covers it all. Amen. That was good. We appreciate that. Good to be back with you. We did go see the grandkids and stayed a little longer than we intended. Must have been the Lord's will because he used the elements against us. Called snow. And we actually had the car snowed in the garage. Stephen would come back and forth and get us with his four-wheel drive pickup truck. It is all right for a little while. It was beginning to get a little much. I felt like Santa Claus bundling up every time I went out the door, you know, more garments on and sort of like this. But I did sharpen up my fire building skills again. I remember that as a kid and some of those winters when I was young in Georgia, building the fire. And Stephen said something to me, said, you know, the place where he's living's got gas. You just turn the switch on. But the house we was in had a fireplace. Anyway, it's good. We enjoyed it. But he said, I'll get you a box of matches. I said, just get me one for every fire. I do remember as a kid, you didn't waste matches. You got the fire right, then one match would do the job. Right? Anyway, we enjoyed it. It was good. It is a little different. I understand why some of you folks show up the time of year that you show up. You've got a motivation behind you. I understand that. And there's a good and bad side to it. Good for a while, but gets old after a while. I had a preacher tell me many years ago, he said, it's okay. We like to watch the snow out the window, but then finally he said it gets real old. And so we kind of experienced that just a little bit. Appreciate Brother Perkins covering Sunday school, and I'm going to pick up kind of where we left off. We'd finished up chapter 13. Truth is, you can't really finish it. It just goes on and on, as far as all that could be said about it. But I hope you will continue to be with us in the Sunday school lesson. Somebody has made the prediction that I'm delaying finishing Revelation, waiting on the Lord to come and finish it. He might be right. And it'd sure be all right with me if he did. Amen. But we did kind of get to the end of Revelation 13, talked a little bit about the number and the mark of the beast. And we always have to review a little bit to get our setting. So somebody said, how come you review so much? Because some of you are not here every week. Let's just put the ball back on the other side of the court. Amen. So I try to keep you up as best as we can on it. And Book of Revelation is tremendous, and especially now in the day and time we're living in, watching so much of it being fulfilled and the time's moving so fast, it ought to be a really interesting book for us to have in our minds and on our lips. I think it's a good time to witness to people about coming events and what is taking place. And I do get questions from people that are not really faithful church folks, but they are hearing things and seeing things and sort of triggers something in their mind. I heard something about that and now it's beginning to happen. That sort of thing is happening out there with the general population. So I would say to you, I think you'll find it fertile ground, witnessing ground, if you just kind of kick off the ball and give them a chance to say something about what's going on. The world is, who in the world would have thought that we'd had to have barbed wire fence around the White House, the People's House, to keep us out. And the National Guard, I was proud of Texas and Florida and a few others said, bring our guards home. They don't belong up there. And anyway, somebody's fearing something, right? I think it's sort of like me. When I done wrong, I feared Daddy. Didn't you? I was afraid he'd get me back, and he would if he found out about it. So there's some folks up there, I think, a little fearful of what they've been doing, and they're trying to kind of hide behind the fence, so to speak, and everything else they can put in place. But anyway, that means you and I that believe the Bible know what the Bible said. We're in a position to have more peace about what things going on than anybody else in the world. Because we know how it turns out. We know who wins. And so that's important. I'm going to review a little bit in Revelation. We finished up, and the main characters in chapter 13, of course, was the two beasts, the false prophet and the Antichrist. And the false prophet pointed to the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to have a system where he numbers everybody. By the way, folks, that system is here. It's been here a long time. Before I left the house this morning, I don't even know what channel it was, but some news come on. I walked through, and I called my wife, and I said, "You ought to look at this. On the TV, as far as you could see, cars were lined up bumper to bumper, covering several parking lots, trying to get in for their get a vaccination." So, well, is that good? Well, it may be far as the vaccination goes, but there'll be a time we'll see populations line up to take the mark of the beast, just as eager as they are right now to take the vaccine. There's a lot of brainwashing going on behind the COVID thing, no doubt about it. And there's a more brainwashing going ready behind the Antichrist kingdom that's going to come in. And people are going to be so deceived that they're going to line up. And by the way, if anybody challenged you about not wearing a mask, well, you talk about being challenged without having the mark when that comes. I mean, it's a wild time. So as we study the book of Revelation, we're not studying something theoretically off a millennial or two. No, sir. I believe it's very close. Very close. Very real. And so we'll rightly divide it. That's the key to studying the Bible. Now, I keep throwing around the word tribulation period because you've been listening to me a long time. And certainly here in book of Revelation, you know what we're talking about. Play a little game with me here just a moment to make sure you do understand. Give you a little bit of a lesson to put in your mind. Number one, we believe the next thing on the agenda of God is to call out his bride, call out his church, call out those who are saved. That could happen when the trumpet sounds, and I don't know, it may be that you and I be the ones that are saved will be the only ones to hear the trumpet. There'll be a lot of folks say, "What happened?" When loved ones mysteriously disappear, there's going to be some questions. But the government always has the answers, don't they? And they'll have the answers again. So if the rapture takes place next, the rapture of the bride, the saved, the church, then what's going to take place? When we refer to the tribulation period, we believe the following event, following the rapture, day or two, week or two, short time, I don't know how long, this period of time that the Bible predicts will begin to take place on earth. I think we're seeing the very shadow of it falling on us right now. Amen. Of the tribulation period. It's a 7-week period, but the weeks are weeks of years. You got a week of eggs, you got 7 eggs. Week of oranges, you got 7 oranges. You got a week of years, you got 7 years. And the book of Daniel, the prophet Daniel, is the one that identified that there would be this period of 70 years of years, and how it came up to the time of the Messiah, the crucifixion of Christ, when the Messiah was cut off, but not for himself. He died for you and I. And that there would be that time that would happen, and then there would be the final 7 years. We call it Daniel's 70th week. It's actually God's 70th week, the last week. We are living right now, as I covered when we went through the book of Revelation earlier chapters, we're up to about the end of chapter 3, the church age. 7 letters to 7 churches in chapter 2 and 3 of Revelation. And the last one is the Laodicean church age. That's the one you see and hear about in the news. It's the far left liberal crowd that mocks the real doctrines of God. And it's called the lukewarm church. We're living in the lukewarm church. We don't want to be a lukewarm church. We want to be red hot for the Lord. But we have to face Christianity is a religion. Religion is not Christianity. And there are in Christianity those that deny the very doctrines of Christianity. And the liberal church does that. We're living in the Laodicean church age. God said that church makes him sick on his stomach, that he'll spew them out of his mouth, because they're neither hot nor cold. So we're living right in that time, the lukewarm church age. That would be true of a big majority of churches. Now, a local church don't have to be lukewarm. It can be hot for God. It can be true to the book and so forth. We want to be that kind of church, of course. Now, when that rapture takes place and the church is called out, that 7 years, that last seven-year period called the tribulation, Jesus said in Matthew 24, called it the great tribulation, which seems to be referring to the last 3.5 years of the seven as being the worst. And truthfully, as we start chapter 14, where we're at in the book of Revelation, we're starting on basically that last 3.5 years of the seven. The first 3.5 is probably going to end pretty close to the time of the mark of the beast has come on. And here's the game I want you to play with me. I want you to look over to your left, and you'll see the organ over there. If you look over to your right, you see the piano. At least that's where they were when I left. They're still there. So I want you to imagine in your mind that we got 7 years from the starting on the mark where the organ is and ending at the mark where the piano is, that there's a seven-year period of time in there. Then I want you to look directly behind me, and you'll see the pulpit. That would divide the seven into half. And so I want to say to you, the tribulation period is 7 years after the rapture. In the midst, it's broken. It's described in the book of Revelation several different ways. It's called, it's a period of 3.5 years, 3.5, half of seven. In the book of Revelation, it's so you wouldn't miss it, God gives it to you about 3 different ways. He calls it 1260 days in the book of Revelation. 1260 days is 3.5 years times 30-day months. Now, the Jews went by the 30-day month, the lunar month, not by the sun, but by the moon. So 3.5 years is 1260 days. It's referred to in the book of Revelation as a time, that's one, and as a times, that's 2.5 a time. So you got your 1, your 2 makes 3, and you got the half, it makes 3.5. That breaks the 7. So I believe in context, as we start off here in chapter 14, we're right in the period taught about at the halfway mark of the tribulation. Now, we're not there now. We're still at the end. We're still at the end of chapter 3, waiting for the trumpet to sound to call the church up to heaven. That's what happens in chapter 4, verse 1. John the Revelator, top of the church himself, John the Revelator said he heard a trumpet and a voice, and it called him up to the throne where he saw all the 24 elders and the beast and all around the throne. In other words, John was called from earth to heaven by a voice and the sound of the trumpet. That's what happens at the rapture. We're called up by the sound of a trumpet and and the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, it says, and we're caught up. So then we'll begin to look, I believe, back down on this from the judgment seat of Christ and see the stuff we're studying now taking place back on earth. So to kind of get that kind of setting for us to understand that we've moved now to chapter 14. We've moved to the end, around the end of the 3.5 mark, which we'd mark with a pulpit here behind us. Two beasts have shown up, a false prophet. He'll head all the world religion up. He'll point to the Antichrist as being the man to worship. We read in how the Antichrist will have an image that shows up. How the image will both, he'll not only be seen, he'll speak. And then how he'll have a number. And everybody's got to have the number or they can't buy or sell. I've had through the years, as I've mentioned that, people say, I'll never take the number. Oh, yeah, you will. If you're here, you will. Say, how you know? Because God said so. You know, people don't like for you to be dogmatic about what God said is going to happen, but it will. It will happen just as God said so. And what is going to happen is that when people get enough pressure on them, they will bow to whatever the government asks them to do. I'm surprised now the government's got us doing the things they've got us doing. I mean, is it a shocker to me that free born supposedly free educated. That's a little bit questionable anymore. But Americans fall so easy, so quickly, for things that just not long ago would be absurd. Would be absurd. I'm not going to get into details. You know what they are. Everywhere you look. And then become hostile with each other if somebody else don't go along with the plan. It's amazing. Well, that's what it'll be like when the Antichrist comes out with his mark. If you don't take it, you just won't be cool. If you don't take it, you'll be persecuted. If you don't take it, you'll be considered a rebel. By the way, do you know the folks in power now are considering everybody that's not with them as being rebels and traitors and terrorists and all the words they're calling us right now? It is amazing what is going on. We see that in just the regular news. I mentioned a while ago about how they got the National Guards laying around on the cold concrete up there. And just a terrible thing, I think. The image of America now, of the White House, is amazing. Used to be you're supposed to be able to just walk in there. And they'd have some hosts to meet you and greet you and show you around. Well, that's not quite the way it's working now, I'll guarantee you. But I found it interesting that they all of a sudden decided, well, maybe we better vet these National Guards. They might not be for us, too. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? They got, you know what? It's going to be a time in the tribulation period where everybody is suspicious of everybody. And if you don't go along, you'll just be out of the picture. You won't buy or sell if you don't have the mark, if you don't go along with the program. All kind of negative things will happen to you. So that's the way we ended up in chapter 13, the mark of the beast, the number, the 666. That 666 numbers, movies been made of it, all kind of propaganda about it, books been written about it. And so it's really becoming current stuff now. Now, advancing to chapter 14, we review just a minute a few things, and I think about some of the big things I've taught as we went through. We went through chapter 8, remember, where we taught about the so-called star, asteroid falling. It's named in Revelation chapter 8, it's named Wormwood. It's poison, it's bitter. We had the real live example in the news a number of years ago when the nuclear plant exploded in Russia and poisoned all the atmosphere and everything. And I was over in Romania, some of us preachers were, at a mission work over there, and it just snowed, and it was pretty. But when I reached over to get a handful of it, they hollered, "Nevet, Nevet." I learned one word in Russian, Nevet. No, don't do it. And so they stopped me. And then the Romanian preachers began to point across the border toward Russia. It was real close, right over, not too far from the Chernobyl plant that exploded and meltdown, I guess is the word for it, and poisoned the air with the radiation and atmosphere. And so they were pointing over there, and they were saying, "We don't trust the snow no more. We don't trust the rain anymore. It's now polluted. And so you be very careful about it." But the word they used that got my attention was a Bible word. That was found in Revelation chapter 8, and it was the word wormwood. Wormwood. That is a word for bitter, poison. And so they were using a word in English that's in the Bible, wormwood, poison. They were not talking necessarily about chapter 8, but I caught the word real quick and understood what they were saying. So we learned the truth that there is what will appear to be a star. NASA over here calls it an asteroid. Say it's, they got it. They're tracking it. They're saying it's really big. They're saying it is going to hit. Unless they're able to divert its course, it is going to hit. It is going to hit America. According to them, they have the spot picked out over there somewhere around the Mexican-California border, Southern California area there. They have the date set on it for it to hit. And the latest update I had on it, they thought it might even be speeding up, and they thought that was highly unusual because they always maintain a constant speed, and that allows the astronomers to predict when something will get somewhere. I found it really interesting years back when we were talking a lot about Bible codes, how that a comet was heading for Jupiter. And the astronomers were able to predict the exact day that it would hit Jupiter, the big planet Jupiter. And the interesting thing was that the people went to the Bible codes, they didn't believe in them or not. Some of it maybe is misused and fakery, I don't know, but a lot of it's very interesting. This was one that was very interesting. They went to the Bible codes and they found the date the comet was supposed to hit Jupiter. Well, guess what? The date matched what NASA also said by studying the movement of the heavenly bodies, the comet. They trace comets all the time. You know, they make a circle, they come back so many years, and all of that business, Halley's Comet and so forth. So I watched it. Exact date the Bible code said, exact date NASA said that thing hit. And it was a big explosion. It wasn't Earth, it was Jupiter. Jupiter's much bigger than Earth. And now they got one coming. It's been coming for a long time. Several years ago, I first began to read a little bit about it. Now it's much closer, and now they have the time predicted that it would hit. Now don't worry, government's got a plan, right? I got a better plan. It's called Jesus' plan. It's knowing him personally and evacuating this planet before it gets hit. That's exactly how you say, you got an evacuation plan. I sure have. It's called the rapture. My Lord's coming for me. Amen? Amen. But anyway, they have it predicted. And if some of you have already planned a way around the rapture to not go in it, you better find you another plan because it's getting closer. 9 years, that goes by pretty fast, don't it? 9 years, 29, let's see, 21. We just turned into 21. Now, I'm not sure that maybe we're working on 8 years now. Started out as 9 when we first started talking to you about the prediction. I've got it written down somewhere. But anyway, President Trump was in office, and if you remember, the only thing I can think of that they didn't fight him on while he was in office was when he said we needed to have a space program, a space force. And they let him create that, and it has been created. And the only thing they didn't fight him on, they fought him on what color socks he wore. I mean, they fought him on everything in the world, but they didn't fight him on that, which made me think maybe they would like for him to stop that thing. So that force has been created, and yes, they're hoping. So how are they going to stop it? Well, they have a plan to shoot a rocket up, and they've already done some testing. They think they could do it. Hit that big asteroid that's coming. Not explode it, not blow it up. They don't have that kind of power. But they think maybe if they hit it a time or two, they might nudge it off of course. And maybe make it miss Earth. Go ahead and trust that if you want to. I'm not too confident over that business. Not confident with what man does when he's trying to get around what God says. Now, I don't know that this is wormwood. It don't have a label put on it, far as I know. But it is strange, especially strange if they're right that it's speeded up. I'm not sure that's right. That's what the talk has been. So I'm not sure. But what about it is this. That event we studied in Revelation chapter 8 is nearing the end of the tribulation period. We'll cross the halfway mark here as we begin to start in chapter 14. Again, the pulpit behind me dividing the 7 and the 3.5. the worst of the tribulation period will be the last 3.5 years. The first 3.5, Antichrist will be consolidating his power, putting all of his plan into effect. I think the Antichrist system is right now on us. We are all participating in it, whether we want to or not. We're involved in it. It'll finally come down to the mark. And this vaccine business and all the rest of this COVID thing may just be a warm-up to make us slip into it real easy. Fact is, I suspect from what I'm hearing in the news, there's a crowd out there don't want it cured. They want to milk it right on and on as long as they can. I saw where Dr. Fauci, and I got other names for him that I don't want to say. He said now it's better to wear 3 masks. You did see that, didn't you? Well, it might be because you just can't breathe and you die. I don't know. But it's crazy what kind of talk is going on right now. But they don't want to give up their power, and they found the thing they could usurp power with. And boy, has it worked. Anyway, I get off of that except to say some bad stuff is coming. Now, another thing I pointed out to you was not only the coming asteroid that's predicted by NASA, another big event that is in the news and not getting much attention, has certainly not had any regular news attention on it. I've spoken about it a little bit, and some preachers have, I'm sure. Not quite so much. I remember when I spoke in a Bible conference 2 years ago. They had to miss it last year. I would have been there again last year, but they had to miss it last year over the COVID fear. But had to do something virtually, that sort of thing. But I pointed out something that the news didn't make much of, and that was coming out of the Vatican, the Pope talking about an alien Messiah. It is very likely. And as we studied Revelation 13, the religious leader, the false prophet, introduces the Antichrist. We mostly think of the Antichrist as being somebody that we might already see in the news, maybe even somebody that's been elected. Could be. But he also could be a little bit more of an outsider that comes on the scene and gets national, worldwide attention and acceptance real quick. If the world religious leader points to him, saying he's the man to worship, that's going to be a powerful influence. The Pope has said that Jesus himself might be a star child, that E.T. may be going to visit us, extraterrestrial. In fact, it leaked out recently some of the high talk and high authority concerning our inventions, our technology, our high-tech stuff. One of the higher-ups in our government that's supposed to be in the know kind of slipped up and said, he said, we don't only have the ability to recognize ET, extraterrestrials, but we have the ability to take them home now. And that didn't make the news much, but he slipped up. They tried to get a little more out of him. He wouldn't say any more. Our technology always runs way ahead of what we, the common people, know about, of course. We've known that for a long time. But the Pope said Jesus himself might even be a star child. Somebody asked the Pope, said, well, if E.T. shows up, what will you do with him? Said, well, we'll baptize him. Now, he was saying that in a joking way, but here's the thing, folks. The Antichrist is going to come to power so quick, be worshiped so quick, obeyed so quick. Our world right now is ready for somebody that has some answers. Because nobody in government office has any answers. Some of them don't even know if it's daytime or not, I don't think. Don't know when the last little nappy they took. But anyway, I won't park on that except say this. We are in a time now where an outside answer might look real good to a population that's confused. And we've come to that place. I said all that to say we're starting in now on the other side of the 3.5 mark. And we open up with a scene or two, a scene that we have already run across, but now we've got more detail. The first time we ran across this group that's going to be introduced in these first few verses of chapter 14, we found this group was a group on earth. Now they've been moved up to heaven. And we're fixing to start our third trip through the tribulation period. We went through under the seals, ended at the end of chapter 6. We went through under the trumpets. We've gone through now, so to speak, under the Antichrist as he's about to show up here. Now we're fixing to go through again, and this will be about the third trip through. So what do you mean by that? I mean God takes us through that 7-year period, and he emphasizes one thing. He takes us through again. He emphasizes something else. He takes us through again. He emphasizes something else. That's why folks get so messed up with the book of Revelation. They keep trying to make everything happen right after the next thing, and it doesn't. God shines the light on this, shines the light on that. Some of it is simultaneous. Much of it isn't. Much of it will run consecutively. Much of it don't. But it's like if you walked into a big art gallery and there's art all over the wall, and instead of you starting at this end and going to that end, you just start kind of looking at the whole thing and spotting this and spotting that. So that's kind of the way we look through the tribulation period. We've told you over and over, and I'll say it again repetitiously, chapter 1, verse 19 is the key verse to the whole book. It tells you how to divide it. John was told to write the things that are. That was the church age where he himself was a pastor. Then the things, he was told to write the things I have seen, and then the things which are, and the things are was the church age, and then the things shall be hereafter. Hereafter is what we've been studying ever since we left chapter 4 and verse 1. Things hereafter our time. Our time will end about the last verse of chapter 3 or the first verse of chapter 4. Now we start in verse 1 of chapter 14. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion. Watch, it says the Mount Zion, not on Mount Zion, just on earth in Jerusalem, but the Mount Zion is in heaven. The Mount Zion, I won't get in details, but it's probably the mount that Satan at one time was on top of before he fell. The Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's names written in their foreheads. Now, notice the comparison. We end up in chapter 13 with a mark being put on the foreheads or the hands by the Antichrist. Now we start off in chapter 14, verse 1, and we see God marking his people. If you're saved, do you know you've already been marked by the Lord? Ain't that great? He already knows who I am, praise God. He's got me marked, and he's not going to make a mistake. Father's name written in their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder. That's the type of voice it was, big, like the thunder when Jesus was baptized and so forth. And I heard the voice of harpers, harping with new harps. You got some churches today say you shouldn't have any kind of instrument in church, like the piano or the organ. I do notice they'll use a pitchfork. I don't know. Pitch fork, is that the way you say it? Say it. Pipe, pitch pipe. I'm mixed up with a hay fork. All right. Pitch pipe. Get everybody on. Well, as far as I'm concerned, that's still an instrument, isn't it? But isn't it strange how folks go nuts over something like that? Now, say, well, what's the point? Well, there's instruments in heaven called harps. We've had one played here a time or two. The Abbey plays one every now and for us. I like them. They're a stringed instrument. By the way, did you know the piano is also a stringed instrument? I've heard folks say, I don't want no stringed instruments in church. Well, I'm sorry. they're in heaven. You better get kind of used to them here because they're going to be there. Amen. And that's what the verse says. That's what it says here. They're going to be harping on their harps. I have to quit there. I did want to tell you that one man knew. He said, I know my wife's an angel. Somebody said, how you know? He said, because she's always up in the air harping on something. All right, I better quit there before I get in trouble. All right, 8:05, that's good. Counting the folks watching us online here this morning. Appreciate you being in the pastor's class here this morning. Not the pastor's class, we're going to rename it. It's the adult Bible class now, amen? All right, a few minutes and the service will get started.